Now, All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
It's great to be along with you. It is a new week of Cardinal baseball. The Cardinals have 12 straight against the NL Central. It is on in the division. My goodness, joining us is the skipper for the Cardinals, Ollie Marmol. Always a pleasure. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. You come to us from Busch Stadium, looks like in your office there. And I was just watching a video of that very office. In fact, I'll show it to you. I got it up right here. I love this video of the Stephen F. Austin team. They're all standing there listening to you. And I look at them, look at you, and I see the joy in their faces about what they had to accomplish, what they did. And I know that the same feeling was in your clubhouse. What was that experience like, being there with them after all of that, the tarps off, a great weekend against the Royals?
That was probably one of the coolest moments, because brought them into the clubhouse, and to see the excitement in their face, you just knew that this was going to be memories and stories that they'll tell forever, right? So like they're walking through the clubhouse, they're super excited, they're having conversations with Jordan, with Gorman, with Mason, with Petey, with Pozo. I mean, they're just going around, and awesome of our players too to just sit there and not just say hello, shake their hand, thanks for everything, like hold a conversation. And they were in there for a decent amount of time, and they made their rotation, and guys signed stuff for them, gave them bats, batting gloves, and just it was a cool moment. I just sat back and watched the whole thing. Once it started to wrap up, I asked them if they didn't mind coming in the office for a minute. And I just wanted to thank them, because as special as that was for them, they did something pretty cool for us, and our players appreciated it, and I want them to understand that. So cool moment for everybody involved.
Ollie, that was all wonderful stuff. It really was, man. I was at home and monitoring social media from places outside of St. Louis, just all these huge platforms, and there's stuff coming in from everywhere. I mean, like literally the globe, people talking about how cool that was, praising you, praising the players, praising the kids, praising just the Cardinals fans who went over to those sections. I mean, what has it been like for you that something like this went viral in a very positive way? But, man, it's like put the Cardinals in a really positive light. But people have been saying a lot of nice things about you. And I'm talking about people that are not based in Cardinal fandom. Have you gotten a lot of feedback just from people in the game or people outside the game? What about personally? Have you been hearing from a lot of people saying how impressed they were by the whole thing?
Yeah, I have from people in the game and outside of the game, people I'm with every day, and then people I haven't heard from in a while. But it was I had no idea it'd become a moment outside of what we were doing in St. Louis. I just thought it was a cool thing to do. And selfishly, I'm peeking up to right field going, this is pretty cool. they're having a party out there. And you can tell like our regular fan base was getting into it, right? Like they were feeding off of each other, and you look a couple innings later and that section starts to grow. And I mean, everyone starts to get into it. So I got home and I just wanted to kind of enjoy that again and figure out a way to make that happen again. So selfishly, I kind of pulled the trigger on that and said, hey man, it'd be cool to just buy that section out and have those people come back out because of how good of a time it was in the stadium. And Mason came into my office after. He's like, man, that was, to use his exact words, that was fire. He's like, that was really, really cool, man. And he fed off of that energy, and the rest of our clubhouse did. So it was a cool moment for everybody. And I'm glad we all got to enjoy it.
You got, but for a quick follow up, I know you'd like to have them here the whole time. What would Mrs. Ollie say about do you have room in the house for all those kids? Can you put them up for the rest of the summer?
I can put them up. Yeah.
Also, those tickets aren't free, Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, what's Mrs. Ollie say? You know, yeah, let them all live here. That's fine.
She was all for it initially when I asked her, because she got to see it and she thought it was pretty cool. And later on that evening, I was like, man, what do you think about just being able to ask them all to come back and just buying that whole section, seeing if it grows? And she was all for it. She's like, it seemed like a really good time. I would do it. So it's those are those moments, man. They could they don't happen very often, but when they do, you want to make sure you take advantage of it and allow everybody to enjoy it. So I'm glad it grew to what it did. I enjoyed the heck out of it, man.
And so now it has grown because we saw it happen in Tampa last night. We saw it happen in Anaheim. So other cities are starting to do it. I imagine more will start to do this. What do you think of that, knowing that other baseball teams and fan bases saw it and now they want to copy the same thing?
Yeah, I actually said this in a earlier interview. Like, what got my wheels turning is I was invited by ownership to go to that soccer game across the way here. And Caroline and her group and her mom and everybody had us there. Ambrose with me, the kids, and we had a great time. And I peek over to the left in that support section. I mean, they went at it all game. Never sat. I mean, it was loud. It was fun, engaging. My kids loved it. They're 6 and 8. I mean, they had a great time. And I remember looking over and telling Amber, I was like, I just want to pick that whole section up and put it in right field. Like, I just want to move it over to Busch Stadium and put them in right field. So when I see these 17 dudes with their shirts off getting after it, I was like, all right, this is kind of fun. And when it grew to a couple hundred dudes up there having a good time, I couldn't help but try to replicate it and say, let's run it back.
A very underreported thing that happened over the weekend was when you put that link out about the tickets. I do believe that was your first Twitter post in like 7 years. Now, I thought it was interesting. I thought that your choice to do that was interesting, and you got it out there pretty quickly. And but further beyond that, I just feel like this isn't about Ollie Marmol's, you know, feel with the fans, but the Cardinals overall feel with the fans. You've been on this from the beginning. I talked to you about the WBC. You love the interaction with the fans. The bird feeder, you encouraged some of us involved with the broadcast of the team to interact with the players. You want human stories to be told about this baseball team. And I feel that is coming. This is just part of a thing that the Cardinals and you are trying to do.
Yeah, this isn't a matter of us inside of these walls growing together to build something sustainable that's fun to watch. This is in a perfect world for me, and I'm not sure exactly how to do it, but hopefully this is a start to it. Like, I want our fans not just to watch us. I want them to feel a part of every single thing that we do. And that means celebrating the wins, but also feeling those losses with us, like going on this journey with this young group of what it truly takes so that one day we are celebrating and lining the streets outside of Busch and having a parade like that. That's the fun part. But how we get there is going to be important. And in a perfect world for me, man, I just want our entire fan base to come along, these young guys, and experience it with them. So when I invited you guys and Chip and the whole group, like, man, I want you guys to be down on the field during spring training, having conversations, humanizing these guys, like understanding their stories, where they're coming from. I think the better we get at being able to tell their stories and allow people to relate with them outside of just their performance on the field is important. And this is one step in that direction, man. But at the end of the day, I'll say it again, getting everybody involved and feeling a part of this is the key for me. It really is.
Ali, you know, that's a great point that you made. And to Tom's point, I'll give you an example. And I know our Cardinals radio network guys, you talk to them at length anytime they want. But for example, like when Danny Wexelman during the games that are on TV, like those dugout interviews aren't the usual two quick questions bye-bye. I mean, that thing's a real interview and it's got substance. And you look like you're into it rather than looking at your watch. I got a two-part question. So number one, what prompted you to just sort of give the green light to something truly different? That's number one. Number two, I hear from fans all the time, and I wanted to get your comments on this, and what happened this weekend with the Tarps Off guys fits into this. They say, you know, is my imagination, or is Ollie more relaxed this year? Is he just more relaxed? Is he looser? Is he having fun? There's something different about him. So I'm passing along to you. What do you think of that?
Man, to the first one, it goes back to humanizing everybody in this clubhouse. And when we sat down during spring training and talked about different ways of doing that, I felt like this was a really good way of just interview during the game. Like we do have to remember, like we are in the entertainment space. People pay to be entertained by this club. Okay. And I can't tell you how many people after the 2022 season came up and like, man, thanks for being a part of getting Albert back here. My dad was in his last years of life and we got to create one more memory together, came to this game. He had a big, like those are the things that like matter. So when you talk about doing an in-game interview with either myself or Dusty or Brant Brown or one of the players and just allowing them to have access at a time that they normally don't, I think that's one way of doing it. Like it's, you have to find different moments throughout the day to be able to do that in order for the fan base to feel like they're a part of what's going on and not just feel like we truly want them to be a part of what's going on. And the more access points you create that are still within the boundaries of like not distracting us from competition, I think you do it. So I'm happy with how that's gone. The players enjoy it. The staff enjoys it. And to my understanding, the feedback that I've received, the fans also enjoy it. When it comes to me being more relaxed, yeah, I'd be lying if I said no. I think there's a certain aspect of this team that's very fitting to the way I like to operate, and my staff, we're just having a good time doing it. We're all on the same page. We had a lot of discussions as to what we wanted this to look like, what we didn't want this to look like, and how we were going to go about it in spring. And everybody's executing at a high level. So regardless of whether we win or lose today, that we're consistent with how we're showing up. And that allows everybody in this clubhouse to operate with a certain amount of freedom that's been good. So if it looks like I'm having a good time, I am.
You know, it's interesting you say that about that this is entertainment and that's what baseball, the number one thing is, because you rarely hear managers say it like that. So how, with that being said, how important is that part of the job versus the rest of the job? So all the decisions, all the, working with the bullpen and lineups and all of that stuff. How important is this aspect of it compared to the rest of those facets?
Yeah, winning is by far the number one part of this. Like you have to put the club in a position to win. That's what you get paid to do. In years like this one, you're also making sure that you are developing at an extremely high level and pushing everyone towards what it looks like to be a winning player so that this is sustainable down the road. But there are more moments throughout the day and when the game's over that you can kind of think through how are we also bringing in our fans into this and are we entertaining what I pay to come watch us and why, and I think you have the ability to do both, man. Like there's so many different ways to spend your money today. There just is. I've gotten an opportunity to become friends with Zach Brown from McLaren with F1. And man, you talk about an entertaining product. They do a really nice job and I've gotten to attend and kind of see it firsthand. And it's, you want to go watch it, right? So like, it's no different. Our fans have a bunch of different outlets to spend their money. Like, why would they come to Busch and spend their time and energy with us? Like, some time has to be spent on that. And in my chair, I think a little bit of my brain power could go to that as well.
That's Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, with us on the Gas House Gang. Quick break, back with more as the Cardinals begin a series with the Pirates tonight.
Now, back to All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
So Ollie Marmol understands the impact of human energy. Totally gets it. He is a wonderful spirit. He wants to have a good time. I've had beers with the guy. He hat backwards. He loves life. He wants to have fun. And that felt like a party. And Ollie Marmol likes to party. And I like to party. So it looks like a bunch of young dudes are bringing the party back, which is vitally important for the Cardinals to be relevant long term.
Greg Amsinger on the Gas House Gang yesterday, MLB Network's very own, joins us every Monday. He's right about that, Ollie. You do have a side of you, I think. You know, we go back to Tony La Russa. I thought that Tony La Russa away from the ballpark was an engaging, fun, guy who could really chat you up. especially in the off season, but he was all business. And sometimes the post game press conferences didn't do him favors. I didn't think we didn't get to see a side of him. I think people are learning more about you, but I'm going to, again, make this more than just about you. I think that what I saw on Saturday in particular was when they're doing the roll call and all the guys were responding to that. And Vic in particular does the jump shot out in center field. But his conversation with Klaibs after the game was so good. I mean, he's giggling, he's laughing, he's pointing out there, he's waving his shirt, his jersey around. He in particular, here's a guy who mentally has gone through a lot. People have to understand that. He was, I felt like a weight was lifted off of him after that moment.
I agree. He has. And this is a guy that has prepared extremely well. And he's gone through a tough season so far offensively. There's been streaks of positives, but there's still a huge gap between where he's at and what's possible for him. But in an environment like that, sometimes what it allows you to do is just, rather than being in the box and thinking about your mechanics and thinking about everything, like, it just allows you to compete. And it was good to see him out there just having fun competing. No different than Jordan, man. Like, seeing him on the field smiling again and enjoying the game and enjoying competing is unreal. I absolutely love it. So, yeah, I agree. We have several personalities, actually a lot of them in that clubhouse, that feed off of that type of energy.
You know it. Tarp got to come on, baby. Yeah!
He was loving it, Bernie. Absolutely loving it.
This stuff's crazy. It's great. It's absolutely great. Can I? Am I a bad person for asking a baseball question?
No, let's do it. Bring it. Let's do it.
Well, I just want to know if Ollie likes to party, like Greg said. That's what Greg said.
Let's get to that baseball question. Yeah.
I want to ask you an overview question. You know, as Tom Ackerman said, you know, 12 straight games against NL Central, 15 out of 18. Against the next 15 out of 18 NL Central, a lot of those games are at home. And I know you're not like looking at it as a big picture thing.
Yeah.
Because you got to fight like hell just every single game. But the NL Central is so good. It's the only division where everyone's got a winning record. Every other division has at least three teams with a losing record. The run differential in the NL Central just blows away everybody else. And your teams, all of you have your challenges. It's not like it's not like it's a rose guard, but in your opinion, why is the NL Central so strong? And you guys play a role in it because a lot of people expected you to be the team that everyone else was kicking around. But why is this division so strong?
Man, we're about to see all of them, to your point, and get a better understanding as to the why. As we prep for them, there's a lot of youth playing the game fast, energy. Like you look at Milwaukee and the way they play the game. You look at the Reds. Ourselves, it's a style of baseball that you can get behind, and the NL Central has done a really nice job, to your point. So it'll be fun over the next couple of weeks of being able to see all of them in person and kind of compete against them, see some of the strengths, the weaknesses, see how we match up against them, and then better understand how we want to continue to go down this road when we see them again. So there's a lot that goes into that, but a lot of fast-paced type of style of play, and in today's game, like, it plays.
And so with this division now, you've played six games against them so far through 46, which is a long way to go and not play that many games against your division. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people in the sport not really care for the way the schedule sets up, that you have to wait this long to play those division opponents. Do you have a problem with it, or does it matter to you?
It doesn't. I don't pay attention to it, just because once the season starts, I'm just head down on the opponent at hand. Like, it's, I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking, all right, now we have all these division games. Like, what is that going to look like? It's, you get wrapped up in that. It's a lot of energy wasted, in my opinion. You prep for who's coming into town. You make sure that you're buttoned up in what you want to do and how they're looking to beat you, what their weaknesses are, and then you move on to the next team. So I don't spend a whole lot of time on it. I obviously, these games are important within division, but we have to just continue to do what we do well. and we have to be consistent with how we're showing up in our style of play, and all that other stuff will take care of itself.
Ollie, anything new on Mason Wynn just yet?
Not yet. We're about to find out in about an hour as to how he comes in, moves around, and if he's able to be in the lineup today, and if not, if we buy him a day. But it all be dependent on kind of him going through a couple different exercises and tests. Yeah.
Ollie, the pitching gets better and better. If I can just throw a couple things at you.
Yeah.
You know, the last 30 games, your team's got the seventh best ERA in the majors since April 27th. That's after the Seattle series, the last 19 games. 3.05 ERA, sixth best in the majors. Starting pitcher, ERA 2.99, fifth best in the majors. Bullpen, 11th best in the majors. It has really been cool to watch. I'm serious. It's been cool to see these guys get better and better. But tell us the secrets to that or the keys to why they have been showing such dramatic improvement.
I'm going to give a ton of credit here to that staff and the players. You look at the amount of preparation with Dusty and Hooley and KD and Keek, and just there's so much that goes into it. I've said this before. I wish I can film a day in the life of that group and show all the preparation that goes into what's being put in front of a player in order for them to prepare for their start. And then for that bullpen to understand where they're going to match up, what are the possibilities, what they go to, where the pinch hitters are, everything in order to put themselves in a position to have success. But the players are the ones going out there and executing. At the end of the day, man, they have a really good understanding of what they do well. They understand what their weaknesses are and how they have to miss in order to have success. Because we do have weaknesses. You look at some of the underlying stuff, it's there. But the reality is, like, how good can we be at missing the way we want to miss? And they've done that at such a high level, man, at such a high level. And what I love about this group, and I said this on a previous chat that I was on, like, their ability to handle the truth is incredible. I think this has been the biggest separator for us. And I said it earlier, like, growth and success, man, like, is in direct proportion with your ability to handle the truth about yourself. And you can sit with McGreevy and talk about his previous outing of when he got pulled at 74 pitches, right? And he's going to be very honest with exactly how he felt, how that game was going for him, what his pitches were doing, if he was on or off, regardless of result. And it allows him to close the gap on improvement that much faster. You can do that with each and every one of these guys, where they're not going to get defensive because they're hungry for what's next in their careers. They're not living off of their success, their previous game, or the last week, or the last two times through the rotation. That's already gone. Like, we can't live off that. It's what can I do this next outing to just get a little bit better than my previous outing? And if you can't handle the truth and go back and forth, then you stall out. I think we're maximizing a lot of what we have at hand right now because you're able to have those conversations. They're able to handle those conversations and they're hungry for what's next. So that's what I give a ton of credit to.
I got a couple of general baseball things for you, and they're kind of related. First, there was a game yesterday with the Mets and the Nationals, and Blake Butera tried to go to the mound because it became a blowout in extra innings, and he tried to put in a position player to pitch. And the umpires told him he couldn't do that. And he said, yes, I can. So they had to call the league office in the middle of the game while they're waiting to find out because the umpires didn't know the rule. If that happened to you in a game, would that lead to an ejection?
No, not if they wanted to call the league and figure out and get it right. If they would continue to tell me no, and I know the answer is yeah, then yeah. But if they're unsure about something, they say, hey, let's double check on this because it's something that hasn't come up recently for their crew. I wouldn't have an issue, only if they just continue to deny me of doing so.
I've never seen them call the league office in the middle of the game.
It's happened to us on something else. This was in previous years. I don't know if it was 24 or 25, but something happened where they called the league. I can't remember the exact situation, but as long as we're getting the call right, I'm cool with it.
And yeah. And lastly, Zach, it gives us our weekly reminder that you have not yet been ejected. So he's watching on YouTube, and he just wants to remind you that it's time.
Yep. I get it. I get it. I really do.
You can blame ABS. I'm telling you.
It is ABS's fault.
It's a big part of it.
It is ABS's fault.
It's a big part of it. I should give credit to the first question that came out of the gate. Sometimes we miss those first ones, but the real third man said about the bullpen. I had a question about that. So
he was the one that mentioned the 9 years. I can't see it right now, but not something about 9 years pitchers, and then seven pitchers through 2026. I read that as soon as I got on.
Yeah.
Great point. Good stat. That takes some digging, so I appreciate it and respect it. Early on, we wanted to make sure it's a couple things. I think you mentioned it in your next comment regarding the shuttle of going back and forth. We haven't done a ton of that just yet, and at some point we'll have to. But it also has to do with how we are getting through the first part of April and some of May and how we want to treat our rotation in order to stay healthy with our guys that are going every 5 or 6 days. And it puts a little bit more on the bullpen, but it's allowed everyone to kind of stay fresh. So there has been games. If you look at us keeping the score against our previous series, we didn't use Stanek, JoJo, Riley in the last two games, and we're still able to throw up some zeros there. So we're rotating guys as far as how we use them in the bullpen. At some point, will we shuttle back and forth to make sure that other guys are getting innings? Yes. And our rotation going a little bit deeper as we get further into May and June is also part of this. So I'm with you. I understand the question. I think it's actually a really good question and something that as you continue over the next 30, 45 days, I think will start to normalize.
Always a pleasure to have you, Ollie. Thank you for this time. You gave us a little extra time today, and we appreciate it very much. Have a great day.
No doubt.
Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager. Cards and Pirates tonight at 6:45. Bernie, Chris, and I return for much more. We take you till 1 o'clock on the Gas House Gang.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
I love the Gas House Gang with Ollie. I love it every day, but the one with Ollie is so good. Bernie, one of the great things about him is that is who he is. And sometimes I feel like this show, I almost forget there's an audience. Like I felt like we were just kind of, you know, kicking it around, talking about what happened over the weekend, and he is in a good place. I think whoever told you that is right. He is in a good place, and I think he is not going to say anything bad about anybody he's ever managed or anybody who's ever managed him or anybody around him. He just is happy right now.
I got in touch with him during spring training because I was keeping in touch with all the reports and, you know, you being down there and Matt Pauly being down there and all the writers being down there. And I just said, you know, you look like you couldn't wait for this time with this particular team. And I said, I think you're, if you don't mind me telling you this, I really think you're in your sweet spot. You're in your sweet spot. Like, this is like kind of the team you've been waiting for. And it's like everything you talk about down there, you're so open. You're so energized. You're so free with describing things and just putting everything out there. And you just have this gusto. I said, you know, am I imagining things? And no, he said, you're absolutely right, because I've never been this fired up about a baseball team, because we are all on the same page. Everybody's on the same page. And he was alluding to management, the coaches, the manager, the players, the minor leagues. And he just said, there is just so much energy in this place that he said, I'd like to think that I always have a good attitude. I'm always ready to go. But this is like the happiest camp I've ever been in, where people can't wait to get the season started. So part of me thought, well, that sounds really good, and I do believe it. But, yeah, I don't know. When the season starts, hey, he knew exactly what he was talking about. This is exactly the vision that he had, what we've seen so far. So I think that's really cool. I really think it's been part of the way I look at this team. I kind of look at it through that lens. Yeah, they got some problems. Like right now, they're not scoring enough runs. Before that, they were giving up too many runs. There's going to be ups and downs. But as far as like the personality, identity, attitude, camaraderie of this team, it's fantastic. And that's not a load of bullswax or beeswax, I should say. It's not a load of beeswax. It's a real thing.
And they don't really have an extended period of losing this year. They had a 4-game losing streak. They got a 3-game losing streak. But what really, this is kind of like when we were talking about Jordan Walker and, you know, what does he do after he struggles? Because at some point he's going to struggle. I think what you're talking about, that attitude in the clubhouse, the attitude of the manager, that really gets tested during a rough patch. And the Cardinals will probably have one this year. I would be stunned if they don't. It's what they do after it. It's how they respond to it. And if they respond well, not only will it say something good about who they are in 2026, but I think it, because these guys are so young and so many of them will be back next year, I think it says a lot of good things about the future, too. It's really about that response.
Bernie, what do you think about that next layer of players? You don't think they're paying attention? I mean, I guarantee you they can't wait to get up here. It's not just the tarps off thing. I just think the overall vibe, like, I think they want to play for this manager. I think they want to play with these teammates. And all that said, Bernie, there's going to be some competition. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to make a run at it. But I think 27 they'll be better, and I think 28 they could be dynamite. And this 26-man roster will not look the same. You are going to have some players, it's inevitable, that are currently in Memphis and Springfield and some in single A. They're going to be up here making some noise.
And to your point, Tom, let's go back to when you were talking about the young players that aren't here yet, but they can't wait to get up here. I totally agree with you. They see what's brewing. They see what's growing. So let's go back to spring training. I thought one of the coolest things that happened, I actually made a big fuss. So I think people thought, like, okay, calm down. Okay, so what? The minor leaguers are having lunch with the veterans. Big deal. You know, Bernie, just you're overly excited about this. I was excited about it. You know why? Because I was aware for a long time, and you know, I've alluded to it, but I wasn't going to make a big stink about it because everybody seemed fine with the policy. But for years and years and years, you know, the minor league players, you know, down in spring training, you know, you can't eat with the veterans. You got to go outside. You can't be in here. I always thought that was strange. You know, I just thought that was strange because you got a lot of young veterans on this team, particularly this team, and some of these guys are going to be here a long time. Those minor leaguers, quite a few of those guys, really good chance they're going to be your teammates in the major leagues real soon. Why not use that time in spring training to get to know each other? And what's a better way to get to know each other than sit down and have a good lunch right there in the team complex, and everybody has a great conversation. Anybody can sit where they want. There are no boundaries. There's no, like, minor leaguers forbidden, leave, you know. I mean, and that's Ollie. That's Ollie. He wanted that. See, he knows exactly what he was doing, what he had. This team is so different than every team he's had. And he's taking advantage of that every way he possibly can, including bringing the minor leaguers and the major leaguers together.
See, everything we're talking about, it takes me to this, because this team so desperately needed some fresh blood, or at least to feel like there was some fresh air coming in. I mean, you've got the same manager for the last few years, but you got a pretty new roster. You turned over a lot of it. You sent away a lot of the veteran players. It is a young team. You've got a new president of baseball operations. And this kind of leads me to a thing that I've been saying about the fan base for a long time. And that is, if you give them something new and if you make them feel like they are on the right path, that there is a fresh start here, they will support a rebuild. Cardinals fans will support a rebuild. They're not the kind of fan base that if you say, you know, or we're getting rid of Paul Goldschmidt and Arenado and all the guys who sell tickets, we're getting rid of all of them. We're going to do a youth movement thing. And we're worried that if we do, you're not going to show up. I think this is sort of proving that people can get into it. Cardinals fans will support a team that they believe is on the right path. But it has to feel like something new, different, and exciting is happening. And that's what they're doing right now.
They want to know that you are playing for them. That's how they want to feel. They want to feel that what they're watching out there, that you hear them, that you're doing this for them as well, for their support. Sure. And the other way around, you know, the players want to see you because you do help them. There's no doubt about that. It works hand in hand. It's pretty cool to see.
But I do think that idea of a fresh look, fresh blood. I mean, it was needed for so long, and people feel like it's actually happening now.
Yeah, you could see it. I mean, and what happened over the weekend with those kids out in right field, those players not much older than them, and, you know, it kind of brought that young crew together.
We talked to Caleb and Bryce on the team on Chris and Amy's show, and when one of the guys was like, "We know we were in high school when Mason Wynn was in high school, right?"
Yeah.
So that was cool for them.
Yeah.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Cards and Pirates tonight at 6:45 with Chris Ronji, Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman. The Gas House Gang, Ollie Marmol, was with us. You can go back and listen to that first half of the show. He was really, really good today. Bernie, the Pirates will not be throwing Paul Skeens in this series. That's good and bad. Good because he's one of the best in the game. Bad because the Cardinals have something on him or something. I mean, it's remarkable. Now, he hasn't had
normally pitches well. It's just he doesn't win.
He hasn't had run support, but they jumped him last time.
Oh, yeah. There was one other start where they beat him up. I can't wait for this next stretch of games. Really, I'm looking at the next 18 games. I think it's such a cliche, and I'm guilty of it too, so I'm not putting anybody else down, but I do think that this stretch of 18 games is going to, quote, tell us a lot about the Cardinals. Maybe fill in some of the blanks of questions that we're still waiting for and waiting to be answered, I should say. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that. By the way, so you mentioned Paul Skeens. Here's a great stat. This season, Dustin May and Michael McGreevy have more quality starts than Paul Skeens.
How about that?
Huh? That's a really good one. I thought so.
Yeah. So the best team in the Central? I think we asked that question a lot. The Cubs starting to slip here. They got beat up last night, 9-3, Chris, by the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that I think was written off on this show, perhaps.
Not this year. I ain't doing it again. I told you, it's Milwaukee all the way for me, pal. Just, I will never count them out ever again. But yeah, Cubs are what? They lost 7 of their last 10.
Yeah.
They were on a tear for a while, too. And I wouldn't say they were comfortable atop the division because they weren't. But everyone is still pretty bunched up here. I mean, there are only 5 games separating first place and last place in the Central Division. And I am not ever, ever, ever again counting out the Milwaukee Brewers. So there they are, half game back of the first place Cubs. They'll probably find themselves right back in there by the end of the night. But that team, man, I don't know. They draft well. They develop well. They always seem to find good pitching no matter what, which keeps them in it. It makes them competitive every single year.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, Tom, to me, the best team in the Central is still the best team in the Central as it's been a long, long time.
They're the best run differential. They're
fantastic. The Cardinals used to have devil magic. Remember national media talking about, well, how do the Cardinals keep doing this?
Yeah.
The Brewers stole devil magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Milwaukee now. It really is. I'd have utmost respect for them. They're great, that front office at what they do.
The plan is for the Cardinals to take that back. And
that's
Bloom.
Right.
Chaim Bloom's trying to build it back. They are in stage one of what is supposed to be a very well thought out plan. We'll see.
They'll play the Brewers next Monday. Series starts then.
Yeah. What a great run this is going to be. Pirates at home, at the Reds, at the Brewers, the Cubs. Can you imagine Cardinals with a chance to overtake the Cubs at Busch Stadium next weekend? Oh, baby. All right. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, good show. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. It has been good. We're only May 19th, and it's already been a fun year. Back with the DGS next.